Benjamin Dean Wilson mit Sadie and the Fat Man auf Flux FM am Dienstagnachmittag. Heute Abend spielt der Künstler aus Tulsa in Oklahoma im Poschteckel in der Pflügerstraße in Neukölln, um dort sein via Tapete erschienenes Album Small Talk zu präsentieren, das mit großen Songs und ausschweifenden Stories überzeugt. Warum er vom klassischen Songformat wenig hält und inwiefern seine Herangehensweise mit dem Approach eines Literaten vielleicht eher vergleichbar ist, das und vieles mehr erfahren wir vom Artist himself. Welcome Benjamin Dean Wilson, hello.
Hello, hey.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good, yeah.
Welcome to Flux FM. It's your first time.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, first it's not going to be your last time. I feel that already.
Okay.
Yeah. Congratulations on Small Talk. The LP has been out for a few months now, and mm-hmm. you did put it out via Tapete Records. We got to talk about that because it's a bit strange for an American artist mm-hmm. to go via Tapete Records. Yeah. But the first thing I want to know is, how's touring with the record been so far? Because you've played a few shows already.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
How's that?
It's been great. This is actually my first tour, so it's been really interesting to just, you know, see all the different venues and, you know, how it's done, you know what I mean? Yeah. But it's been great just to be in Europe as well, in Germany, and, you know.
And the shows have been okay, and mm-hmm. people
yeah.
received the music well. And
mm-hmm. cool. We had this idea to have booklets to hand out with the lyrics as well. So that way, like, at the small shows with, like, dinner and stuff, people have, like, booklets.
Cool.
So that they can, you know, like, read along with the lyrics because the songs are so lyric heavy.
Yeah, that's true. And I think it's a good idea because especially in Germany, there's many people in the audiences who really love the music and who are into the chord progressions and you know, and they fall in love with the melodies and stuff, and then after a year or so they start digging into the lyrics a bit more. They do understand like three quarters of it all, but you obviously don't get as much of the lyrics as if you were an American guy or an English girl, you know? So they probably take some time longer, but in your case, I think it's a good idea to hand out the lyrics because they're really an important part, maybe the more important part of your songs.
Right,
one can probably discuss that.
Yeah.
But what one realizes when one's listening to your music is the fact that the lyrics are super important to you. When one's visiting your website, even there on the front page, one can read the lyrics, one can mm-hmm. read along. When did you realize that you wouldn't want to be the musician who presses his lyrics into a 3-minute song, who forces a story into a 3-minute format? Because you basically do the opposite, right?
Mm-hmm. My background is my father's a television producer. So I've been writing like movies and things and that's kind of the direction I was going. And I mean, I could play the guitar and some instrument, you know, the piano and stuff, but I never really considered it for music. And so once I kind of I decided I wasn't going to make a film this time. Uh-huh. But instead, I'll try to put some stories into some songs.
Cool.
And so it was kind of like that. It was the idea.
Yeah, and that's actually what I thought because I read about the fact that you were writing scripts for mm-hmm. TV shows, for made-up TV shows maybe, for theater plays as well.
Right, yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's where it's coming from, basically, right? Cool. So when composing, you start the song with the lyric, or is that something that changes from song to song?
It changes, but most of the time, you know, I usually write at the piano. And so if I just will come up with a melody and then kind of start building it, I don't like outline it or anything. I just sort of start and kind of work through it, you know?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's how the best songs have been written over the years, mm-hmm. years in, of popular music. I think the best songs, they just arrive, right?
It
just
happen
in the artist's head, and then they just start playing them.
Yeah.
The songs that sound effortless sometimes have been made without too much effort, but maybe that's wrong as well. So when you're working like that, and you're working alone on your songs, you do record all the instruments on your own as well, right?
Yeah, I have. The past maybe 5 years, my friends and my family would all so for Christmas or something, they'd all go in together and buy me one instrument instead of getting a lot of different presents.
Cool.
I would say this for this year, I just want a banjo, or for this next, for my birthday, I just want a mandolin, or, you know, so I have a lot of different instruments that I can play a little bit. You know, I can't do solos on them or anything, but I can figure out enough how to play them to make a, and so, but yeah, for the albums, I have a little studio in my house with my little analog 8-track
tape. I've seen that.
Yeah.
That's so old school. Yeah, I mean, to work with all these instruments and to really learn how to play the banjo instead of using the samples, that's true school. That's not old school, but that's true school. I dig that. But what I really found interesting is the fact that you're using an old tape machine to record your stuff.
Yeah,
but they have that certain quality to them, right? They have they're breathing machines, basically.
Yeah, and that's part of my background with movies is because I was a projectionist as well for 35 millimeter film.
Oh yeah.
And so I had a lot of experience working with those analog, you know, and so it makes a lot of sense to me to be able to and that sort of process, analog process makes sense to me.
So, you know, all the moves, all the fumbling moves
that one has to do to
put the tape in.
Yes. Yeah.
It's basically the same as if you would put a film into the projector.
It's similar.
Right?
I mean, similar kind of maintenance. I mean, there's differences, obviously, it crosses over well. Yeah.
And we've learned over the last few years that recording on tape has so many. It has disadvantages, obviously, because when you want to cut something, you really have to cut the tape, maybe, if you don't digitize it.
Sure, right.
But at the same time, there are so many advantages. Like if there's a signal that's a bit too loud, it sounds crazy good on tape.
Yeah.
Whereas a distorted digital signal, you can throw it away. You have to do it again.
Right.
So there's advantages to that form of production. Let's listen to another song of yours.
Yeah, cool.
Then we'll talk another bit. We'll give away tickets for tonight's show, and then you play us a song alive.
Okay, yeah,
cool. Benjamin Dean Wilson hier nochmal mit End of Never Again von der neuen, just erschienenen Platte Smalltalk, die via Tapete Records übrigens erschienen ist. Darüber haben wir noch gar nicht gesprochen. Das machen wir gleich nach dem Song hier. Benjamin Dean Wilson mit End of Never Again. Bei mir im Studio ist immer noch der Mann, den wir eben gerade noch singen hörten. Wir quatschen noch ein bisschen, hören noch eine Live-Performance von ihm und dann verlosen wir Tickets für die Show heute Abend im Posh Tackle. You are such a great storyteller. Telling stories is your main thing, and you do have a lot of fantasy. You're an imaginative guy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But as an imaginative guy, how surprised were you when you realized that Donald Trump has won the election?
Oh, yeah.
Have you been surprised? Or were you one of the few guys who was like, I'm pretty sure, or I'm sure that it's possible that he's going to make it?
No, I didn't think that it was very possible. It seems still like kind of fantasy in a way, you know, like it's, you know, like a song or a story,
true.
You know?
Yeah. I just told a guy like a few minutes ago, who's working here, that it somehow feels like the first few minutes of a horror movie, you know, when they set up the scene, like, oh, there's this crazy president in the United States and nature catastrophes are happening over there and over here. And then all of a sudden the aliens
are
arriving.
Next?
Yeah. It feels like that.
Sure. Yeah.
A little bit. We've mentioned Tapete Records, one of the finest labels here in Germany. They only put out great music, and they put out your music as well. And they don't do that because they found your music that had been put out on an American label and they'd be like, let's do that in Germany. No. You sent them your music.
Yeah.
How did that happen? How did you come up with the idea to go for Tapete Records? Did you hear from them before? Or?
No, actually, my brother, he plays basketball. He lives here. He lives in Bochum, I guess is how you pronounce it. Okay, so I had just been recording.
He's a professional basketball player.
Yes. The Astrostars is the team he plays for. Anyway, but I had just been recording the album, and he came to visit for Christmas or something. And he said, you know, you should think about like some German labels, because then we could hang out. Like he could come on tour.
Cool.
And so I was like, yeah. Okay.
And it worked out.
Yeah. And so I finished recording the album and I sent it to Karsten, is the guy who found it. And, like a few days later, he emailed back and said, hey, this is great. Do you have any more information about you? And so from there, we just kind of, and now here I am in Berlin.
I think nowadays it is not the stupidest idea to work with a label in Germany, because it's in the center of Europe. You can tour the whole continent.
Yeah, it's
from
been great.
Here.
It's been exceeded my expectations by a lot. You know, it was very surprising. You know what I mean? So I'm very pleased.
Yeah, cool. And you can hang out with your brother a little more.
Actually, before the tour, I came and spent about 3 weeks just visiting Germany. And
So you spent a little time in Bochum.
In Bochum, but we also went all over, you know.
Yeah, cool.
Just made a big holiday of it.
I like Bochum a lot. It's like a workers' city, and the people there are really straightforward. I mean, if they don't like you, they just tell you. They come up to you and we don't like you. You suck.
Well, that's also what I like a lot about being in Europe. I mean, it's just how straightforward it seems most people are. I mean, that I've met so far.
Yeah.
It's... Very direct, you know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Not, hi, how are you doing?
Yeah,
there's
advantages and disadvantages to that, too.
Sure.
Because sometimes when you go and meet American people, you feel so good because they're treating you nice, you know? They're polite all the time.
Yeah.
They're not like, I don't give a fuck what your music's about. Let me just leave, you know what I'm saying? So there's advantages and disadvantages to anything. So you're planning on moving here maybe? Because it wouldn't be too bad to be close to your label or something?
Well, maybe. So... It's a possibility.
Okay.
It's a possibility.
Yeah, okay.
It's a possibility.
I don't enforce.
I don't know right now. Yeah, somebody was making a joke that I'd be the first American refugee from Trump. You know, it was like that was his joke.
Yeah, I don't think, or I do think that there are going to be some Americans who are going to leave the country. I don't know if it's a good idea or not. Maybe you have to stay there and fight for the good cause and be there, as an opposition to Donald. It's maybe better for the USA than leaving.
Sure. Yeah, that's another thing I was talking to a guy about, is that, in America, if you can find whatever you're looking for in America, you know, if you're looking for negative things, you're going to see them. But there's also so many good things about America, you know. Obviously.
And we as a radio station, we are definitely looking forward to all these protest songs and all these anti-Republican stuff that's going to happen in the year 2017. When one's looking back at the American history, there's always been great music when there was a Republican president. It really was.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Think of the 90s and Rage Against the Machine and stuff like that.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. Right.
There's going to be more of that, I hope. So that's the one thing that we can hope for with Donald Trump as a president. So you brought your acoustic guitar and you told me that you wanted to play us a song called A Little More. Now, as your stories are so important, what's the song about? Please tell our listeners a little bit about that song.
Well, it'll kind of unfold in the course of the song. But
thank you.
But about doing something and that you don't necessarily enjoy, but continuing to do it. A little more. So,
thank you for explaining.
Yeah, you bet.
Here's Benjamin Dean Wilson with A Little More Life of Lux FM.
I gave my love to Mary when we were very young. My friends, they had prepared me while she was still unlearned. So I became her teacher. I taught her where to touch, and she did fine in theory and practice. Not so much. Yeah, she cried and hated it, but she wanted to perform. She said, I'm fine, and bit her lip. Then she took a little more. My mother was a painter. My father loved her so. My mother made our likeness. Our father made the dough. You went to work and there he did what workers do. He learned to serve his master and his master's master too. And he cried and hated it, but he wanted to perform. He said, I'm fine, and bit his lip. Then he took a little more. Now I've learned to serve my country all through that stupid war. The project and their butcher, their golden boy for sure. I took the gun they gave me, and with it I did my best to take the life of every man in the other color dressed. And I cried and hated it, but I wanted to perform. I said, I'm fine, and I bit my lip. Then I took a little more. So if ever you're burdened by a very heavy load, let not your heart be hardened, let not yourself corrode. Just take it in good stride on till the bitter end. And when you meet one weaker, do the same to him. And he'll cry and hate it, but he'll want to perform. He'll say, I'm fine, and bite his lip. Then he'll take a little more.
Yeah! Stadium applause! Wow! Benjamin Dean Wilson live auf Flux FM. Heute Abend spielt er im Posthecke, der in Neukölln zu finden ist, in der Pflügerstraße. Wir verlosen jetzt auf Verdacht einfach mal Tickets. Ich weiß gar nicht, ob das Eintritt kostet da heute Abend im kleinen Prosteckel, aber ich glaube mal schon. Insofern ruft an für Tickets für die Show von Benjamin Dean Wilson heute Abend im Prosteckel. Die Nummer zum Glück lautet 030 2000 9000. Berlin 2000 9000. Jetzt anrufen für Tickets für Benjamin Dean Wilson, der heute Abend auch wieder Textsheets mitbringen wird, damit die Leute mitlesen können. You're going to bring those sheets tonight as well, so people can read along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lyric
booklets.
And
be part of the story.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
That's good, though. That's a good idea. Do you do that in the States and in England as well, or do you?
Just, well, yeah, for Germany, yeah.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's a good idea, I can tell you. So we'll meet again. I have a good feeling that you're going to play more shows here in Berlin next year. Say hi to your brother. Maybe he's going to join the basketball team that's playing right over there the Alba Berlin team one day.
Okay,
and we're
going to
meet him as well.
Cool.
Up until now, I say thank you for visiting.
Hey,
see you soon. Bye-bye. Benjamin Dean Wilson war bei mir im Studio heute Abend, wie gesagt, im schönen Posteckel für Tickets 030 2000 9000.